Would you clap your hands unto the Lord tonight? Amen. In adoration. God is so good to us. Amen. If you're able to stand, stand with me as we get ready to turn to the word of the Lord. Amen. I'm excited to minister the word of the Lord tonight. Set my timer here so I don't preach an hour and a half on y'all. Amen. I promise you, I won't go over 1 hour and 25 minutes tonight, okay? So I've been looking forward all day today to addressing this body of believers. Amen. Something that the Lord has really impressed upon my heart. I believe that the topic that we're going to discuss tonight, amen, is something that is plaguing the body of Christ. And all too many times it goes untalked about. And the statistics are alarming. Amen. When you begin to really dig into them, amen, the things that are going on in the world today, even in the church. And I want to address our hearts tonight, amen. And I want to get back on this Hope for the Heart series. I want to do part two tonight, and I want to talk to this body on something very specific about the heart. Tonight I'd like to talk about the word desires. The desires of the heart. Amen. The desires of the heart. If you got your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of James, the first chapter? I'm just going to read two verses of quick scripture in your hearing. The book of James, the first chapter, I want to read tonight to you verse 13 and verse 14. This is a very familiar passage of scripture. You've heard it hundreds of times. Amen. But I hope tonight to bring something to you from the word of the Lord, amen, that'll really be eye-opening, amen, and cause you to really contemplate and to examine your walk with God and the condition of your heart tonight. How many know we got to pay attention to our heart? We got to pay attention to our heart tonight. The book of James, the first chapter, verse 13, the word of the Lord, out of the mouth of the disciple says, let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempteth he any man. Verse 14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, and he is enticed. I want to continue tonight on our Hope for the Heart series, part two. I want to speak to this body, amen, about the desires of our heart. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Church, I want to talk to you tonight. Amen. I want to speak to you, preach to you, teach to you, whatever the Lord will allow. Tonight on a subject that touches every heart that is in this room, and that is our desires, amen. And James tells us plainly in this passage of Scripture that temptation does not come from God, all right? Temptation does not come from God. God does not lure men into sin. Like some people may think, he's not a policeman in a radar trap. All right, God does not lure us. God does not tempt us. But the Bible says every man is tempted, but it doesn't come from God. All right, so God does not tempt us. God does not lure us. Amen. And God does not lure men into sin. And the problem is never God's goodness. The problem is always the desires that abide inside the human heart. The problem is never will be and never has been that God is not good, because God is always good. Amen. The problem will always be, amen, the desires of our own hearts. James says that every man is tempted when he is drawn away. In the text I just read you, of his own lust or his own desires. All right? It's our desires that entice us, that draw us, that lure us into sin, into distance from God. It's the desires of our heart. If they go unchecked, amen, they will get you. Amen. They will get a hold of you. They will take you someplace that you don't want to go. How many know desire's powerful? I'm going to say it again. As I only got 5 amens, I'm looking for 10. Desire is powerful. Desire can get a hold of you. Amen. Desire is something that lurks in the shadows. Amen. Desire is powerful in the hearts, in the minds of people. Desire has the power to lift a man to righteousness. Desire has the power to drag a man to destruction. Desire is powerful. Desire can do things in your life. Amen. So we must pay attention to the desires of our heart. Amen. We must pay attention to what's growing on the inside of us. Amen. I was thinking as I was taken to this sacred desk tonight, and I looked over here to my left, and I saw Brother Tim sitting here. I was thinking, I just said in my mind, I said, Lord, thank you for changing that man's desires. Man, since he's got the Holy Ghost, this guy's been in this church, and I'm telling you, he's hungry for God. Amen. He's hungry for God. And he texted me, said, Pastor, I want to get involved. I want to be a part of this church. How many know when you get the Holy Ghost, how many know the nature of God will change the desires of your heart? Amen. Church, we got to pay attention to our desires tonight. Amen. Desires have power. Amen. Desires can lift us to righteousness. Desires can drag us down to destruction. Amen. And we got to pay attention to these things. Desire can set your feet on a pathway to revival. Amen. Desires can lead you down the road to ruin. Desire can lead you to closer to God, or desire can draw you away from the glory of God. Desire has power in our lives tonight. And the first thing I want you to know tonight about the desires of your heart is desires begin in the heart. Desire begins in the heart. And we need to pay attention to that tonight. How many know sin never starts with an action? Come on. No, sin begins with a desire. All right? So sin doesn't ever start out in an action. Now, you might immediately respond to something in a way that you shouldn't have, but I'm not talking about that type of sin. I'm talking about things that lurk and things that hide in you. I'm talking about desires that grow and multiply in you. Sin does not start off or begin with an action. Sin begins with a desire. Can I tell this body tonight that long before David ever committed adultery with Bathsheba, come on, that desire was lurking in his heart. Come on, can I tell you that long before Samson ever revealed the source of his power to Delilah, Brother Joe, that desire was lurking deep within his heart. Amen. Because sin doesn't ever begin with action. Sin always begins with desire. Amen. And we need to pay attention to these things tonight. Long before Jacob ever stole his brother Esau's blessing, there was this divisive desire that was devising a plan to put hair on his arms and lie to his father and steal a blessing from his brother Esau. Because sin doesn't begin with action. Sin begins with desire. Amen. Desire is birthed in the heart. Amen. And we got to pay attention to these things. And desire is the seed bed, if you will, of sin. And desire starts out like a little plant. It almost at first is seemingly harmless. Desire starts out Amen. And it seems to be harmless and it's quiet and it's small and it don't seem to amount to much. But how many know if it's unchecked, if it isn't brought under subjection to the Spirit of God? Come on, if you don't recognize, amen, that your life is going in a direction that you don't want it to go, desires unchecked will take you someplace you don't want to go. Come on, listen, desire, amen, we got to pay attention to these things. It's the seedbed for sin. It's quiet, it's small, it's seemingly harmless, but it becomes deadly as we begin to entertain it. And it begins to grow, and it begins to nurture, and it begins to multiply as we begin to entertain it and we begin to give place to it. I mean, no, the devil does not have to shove sin into your life. No, he doesn't. He doesn't have to force himself upon you. The devil doesn't have to shove sin into your life. All he has to do is make enough room for you to have a desire for something in your life that is against God's will. And as soon as he does that, he has the ball rolling. And that desire will begin to grow. Desires unchecked are the seedbed for sin. Amen. And we got to pay attention to these things. We got to open our eyes to these things. Amen. And we got to realize today that desire, when we begin to entertain it, when we begin to give place to it, it's going to become something deadly in our lives. The devil does not have to shove sin into our lives. He just needs to create enough space. He just needs to give our flesh enough room to want something that is not of God's will for us. And when he does that, he knows that he's got something working against us in our lives. How many know the enemy knows that he can't force you to fall? Why didn't he just force Eve to eat the apple, or the fruit, rather? Bible scholars. Why didn't he just force Eve to eat the fruit? Because he couldn't force Eve to eat the fruit. He had to deceive Eve to eat the fruit. He had to create a desire in her. He created enough space, and he said, he just doesn't want you to know what he knows. He just doesn't want you to have the power that he has. And what he did was he created enough space between her and God to create room for her flesh to begin to desire something, Sister Gail, that was not what God intended for her. Can I tell you, if God didn't intend it for you, you don't need it. Can I tell you, if God wants to keep it out of your life, the best thing that could ever happen to you is for God to keep it out of your life. Because the enemy knows what he's doing. He's good at his job. And he knows he cannot force us to sin. He knows he cannot force us to fall. So what he does, he just creates enough room to create a little bit of desire for the things that he knows will begin to lead us away from the presence of the Lord. If you ever noticed, 9 times out of 10, most people do not leave the church immediately. They don't just up one day and say, I'm not feeling it anymore, I'm never coming back. No, most of the time, there becomes a little bit of distance. Most of the time, their prayer life begins to let down. Most of the time, they stop studying God's word. Most of the time, they stop being faithful to services. You know what the enemy's doing? He's creating a little bit of distance just so your flesh can begin to desire the things that God does not want in your life. The enemy does not have to force you to fall. All he's got to do is open up the room for desire. Come on, church, desire has power in our lives today. Desire has power in our lives today. And if he creates enough room in our life, he knows that he has the ball rolling in our life. Amen. When he does that, he knows that he's got something working against us. He can't force us. He can't make us, but he can sure enough play on your desire. He can sure enough create enough distance between you and God that your desires will begin to grow. And can I tell you, when your desires begin to lean in the wrong direction, sin is sure to follow. sin is coming. When you start being unfaithful, when you start creating distance between your fellowship with the saints, when you stop praying, when you stop reading your Bible, when you stop attending prayer meetings, when you stop midweek services, come on, when you think Sunday school and Sunday morning session is no longer important, you better get ready, because the Lord has created enough space between you, come on, or the enemy has created enough space between you and the Lord that desire's beginning to creep in. And when desire creeps in, sin is sure to follow. Desire is the seedbed for sin. And if you don't check it and you don't realize it and you don't get a handle on it and you don't give it to God, sin is sure to follow. It's exactly what happened. It's exactly what got Adam and Eve dispelled from the Garden of Eden, that perfect place that God had prepared for them. How many know God's got a heavenly place prepared for you? God's got a blessed life that he wants you to abide in. But the enemy doesn't want you abiding in the garden of God. He wants to create enough space between you and God where your desire can begin to creep in and become a seedbed for sin. Come on. I'm trying to help somebody tonight. I'm trying to keep somebody from messing up their life tonight. I'm trying to keep you from a decision that desire's leading you towards. Come on, how many know we got to keep our desires in check tonight? So the first thing I want you to know is desire begins in the heart. And sin doesn't start with an action. No, sin begins with a desire. A distance between you and God. Amen. Room enough to begin to want things that God does not want in your life. The second thing I want you to know tonight is desire grows when it isn't checked and it isn't trimmed. How many know we got to trim desire sometimes? How many know we got to realize when things are growing in our life that God doesn't want there, you better get the trimming. And desire, when it is not checked, it's going to grow uncontrollably. James tells us in our text, the desire draws a person away and it entices them. Your lust, when lust has conceived, right? Amen. It brings forth death. James warns us. James is telling us that your desire or your lust will draw you away from God and it will entice you. I mean, no, desire does not stand still. Desire's not lazy. Desire's moving. Desire's growing. Desire's multiplying. Amen. And if you got good desires in your life and you desire to be close to God and you desire to please God, guess what? You're going to find yourself drawing closer to God. But if your desires are leading you away from God, guess what? Those desires are going to increase. Those desires are going to multiply. And you're going to find yourself getting farther and farther and farther away from God, because desire's not lazy like some of us. No, desire's on the move. Desire's multiplying. Desire's working. Desire is maturing. And that's why when it's unchecked, desire becomes uncontrollable. How many of some people have uncontrollable desires? Let me tell you something. Some of these people that are committing these atrocities in our world, they didn't start out that way. There was some unchecked desires. There were some things that began small and they began quiet. Let me tell you something, a serial rapist wasn't always a serial rapist. No, there was some kind of sick and twisted desire that they gave place to. It didn't start out as an action. It started out as a desire, and it went unchecked. Let me tell you something. If you don't check your desires, they will grow uncontrollably, and they will soon begin to take over your life. James says they draw us away from God, and they entice us into places that God does not want us to be. They grow, they develop, they mature, they multiply. And they become uncontrollable. What begins as a passing thought becomes a chain that binds you. becomes a cord that holds you and restricts you, and eventually unchecked will destroy you. It's the power of desires, church. Eventually, unchecked, the wrong desires will destroy you. David said in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. Why? Because the heart is where desire takes root. David understood these things. So he said, Lord, clean up my heart because that's where desire starts at. And if I got a clean heart, I'm going to have clean desires. But if I've got evil in my heart, and I've got lust in my heart, and I've got jealousy in my heart, and I've got all these things that shouldn't be in my heart, guess what? That's where it's going to lead my desires to grow. And unchecked, these things are going to become uncontrollable. Amen. They're going to become uncontrollable. And David said, create in me, O God, a clean heart. Amen. Because he understood that it was the seedbed. Desire is the seedbed for sin. And the heart is where desire takes root at. It's where desire grows. And if desire is not brought under the blood, and if desire is not brought under discipline, and if desire is not brought under obedience to God, your desire will be the master of your life. It will. It'll be the master of your life. It will absolutely handle you. Some people cannot control their flesh. You ever seen somebody who could not control their anger? You ever seen somebody who could not control their lust? You ever seen somebody who could not control their mouth? It's unchecked desire. That's exactly what it is. It's desire that is not brought under obedience to Christ. Amen. And these small desires grow into big sins. Come on, it's kind of like small, unruly, undisciplined children grow into adult brats. You know why? Because they go unchecked. And nobody disciplines them, and nobody trims their wick, and nobody tells them when they're wrong. Can I tell you, your unchecked desires will destroy your life. Come on, I'm trying to help somebody tonight. I'm trying to give you hope for your heart tonight. I'm trying to tell you that God doesn't want you to be bound by the evil desires that lurk in your heart. God wants you to understand that the enemy is trying to create distance between you and God. So there's just enough room for a little desire for something that you don't need in your life. Amen. Come on, the greatest danger, church, of wrong desire is not that it starts big. The greatest danger of wrong desire is that it starts small, because we don't pay attention to small things. We don't give place to small things. We don't worry about those little small things. But let me tell you something, it's the small foxes that spoils the vine. And it's the small desires that become big sins. And it's those desires that unchecked that will grow uncontrollably, and they will begin to consume your life. The third thing I want you to know tonight is your desire can be holy or your desire can be deadly. There's two different types of desires. How many know there's a desire that'll lead you to God? There's a desire that'll lead you closer to God. There's a desire that will inspire prayer. There's a desire that will inspire study. There's a desire that will inspire men's prayer and women's prayer and book club and Saturday morning prayer. There's a desire that will lead you closer to God. But there's also a desire that will lead you right away from the glory of God. Your desire can be blessed, it can be holy, or it can be deadly. Amen. And we got to recognize the difference between the two. Desire itself is not evil. I mean, no, we need desire. We should desire to be like Christ. We should desire to love our neighbor. We should desire to pray for our brothers and our sisters in Christ. We should have godly desires in our life. Your desires can be holy or your desires can be deadly. Amen. God gives us desire. God created desire, but man is the one who corrupts everything. It's us. It's our flesh. It's our heart of flesh. It's us. We corrupt. God can bless you with the best wife or the best husband in the world. God can give you the best job in the world, and you can grow discontent in your heart for that job. God can give you the best church in the world, and you can grow discontent in your heart for that church. You know why? Because we control what grows in our heart. We control. It's our job to trim the wick and to get rid of the weeds in our own garden. It's our job. Amen. We got to bring these things under subjection to Christ. Amen. God created desire. God gives us a desire for Him. We should desire God. We should desire righteousness. We should desire holiness. We should have a desire for the presence of God when we walk through these doors. We should have it in our head, I'm not leaving until I entertain the presence of God Almighty in this place. I'm not leaving till I feel Him. I'm not leaving till He touches me. I got a desire in my heart. It's the whole reason I came to the house of God tonight, is because I want to be like Him. Woo, come on. God gives us desire tonight. Amen. But it's the wrong type of desire that we entertain. Amen. And the issue is not whether we have desire. The issue is, what do you desire? Come on, we should have desire tonight. We should have desire for the things of God. Amen. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after. Ooh, we should desire Jesus tonight. We should desire to be like Him tonight. We should desire that the world see Him in us tonight. We should desire a closeness and an intimacy with our God tonight. Amen. The issue is not whether you do have desire. The issue is, what do you desire? We got to desire the things of God. David said, I have desired the Lord, that I will seek after Him, that I may know Him. And then Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. We need to hunger. We need to desire the things of God tonight. And I'm telling you, church, God wants to bless you. But He ain't going to bless you if you ain't faithful to Him. And you don't diligently seek Him. And you put everything in the world before Him. God is not going to bless that kind of nonsense. God is looking for a people that want to love Him, a people that want to serve Him, a people that have a desire to be like Him. That's why David said, I desired these things. I will seek after. I want to know Him. I want to be like Him. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, the holy desire draws you into prayer. Man, I remember a time in my life I didn't have a desire for prayer. I was a weak Christian. And if you're a weak Christian in this room tonight, I'm going to tell you right now, prayer and a holy desire for prayer will change your life. Desiring to be like Him, desiring to be in His presence, getting down on your knees and making up your mind you ain't getting up until you hear from Him and you feel Him and He touches you. A holy desire for prayer will change your life. That's why we have ramped up prayer this year in this church. Amen. Because we got to have these holy desires in our life. A holy desire will pull you to the altar. Huh? You ain't going to be that person who says, I ain't going to that altar no matter what. That preacher ain't getting to me today. No, you're going to want to get up and be the first one out of your seat and run to the front of the church. Man, let me tell you, I've seen people jerked out of their seat, tears in their eyes, shaking in their hands, and running to the front of the church. Why? Because they have a holy desire to get where Jesus is going to meet them at. We got to have holy desires for God tonight. It'll draw you to prayer. It'll draw you to fellowship. It'll draw you to study. It'll draw you to altar calls when you desire to be like Jesus. Desire will push you towards the Word of God. David said, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. David understood it was the seed bed. And either it's going to breed a love and a holy desire for God, or it's going to breed discontent. And it's going to breed evil. And it's going to breed things that are going to take you away from the glory of God. A holy desire will pull you to God. A holy desire, amen, awakens you in the middle of the night, calling you deeper, saying, pray for your brother who's hurting. Pray for your sister who's losing her way. Pray for that child of God who's going through this sickness. Pray for that child of God who's going through divorce. Pray for that child of God who's losing their way with God. A holy desire will cause you to love your neighbor. It's how men will know that we are with God and we are the disciples of God, that we love one another. We got to love one another, church. We got to have a holy desire to love one another tonight. It's what God wants from us. It'll draw you closer to God. But a wrong desire promises life and brings death. How many have been lied to? How many have been promised something and what you got wasn't nothing like what they told you it was? Come on, I was talking with a young lady not long ago. She left a job here in Indianapolis, moved all the way to California. Man made a promise to her, all these big promises. He was going to do this, and he was going to increase her pay, and he was going to make her this, and he was going to do this for her. And 5 years later, he had not fulfilled one single promise that he made her. How many know that wrongful desires promises life, but they bring death? The enemy's a good liar. The enemy's a good liar. Let me tell you something. Wrongful desire appears attractive, but it ends in poison. It does. It's destructive. Wrongful desires will bring destruction into your life. It offers freedom, but it brings change and bondage. Wrongful desires will bind you. I don't care how strong you think you are. Wrongful desires will bind you. I promise you. I promise you, when Samson was standing there fettered in those chains, he was thinking about the desires of his heart. Man, what was I doing? His eyeballs plucked out of his head, his hair and his strength cut off, and him bound and fettered in chains. And he was sitting there thinking, man, why did I let the desires of my heart go unchecked? The wrongful desires of your heart will take you someplace you don't want to go. It'll take you someplace bound. Amen. Wrong desire will cost you more than you intended to pay. I promise you it will. The wrong desires unchecked will take you further than you intended to go. The fourth thing I want you to know tonight is desire must be surrendered to God. We got to give it to the Lord, Brother Eric. We got to give the desires of our heart, we got to give them to Him. We got to let the Lord reveal to us, man, if this is of God or if this is not of God. Can I tell you, if it brings you closer to God, it's of God. But if it pushes you away from God, it ain't what God intends for you. No, we got to surrender these things and these desires unto the Lord. The Song of Solomon warns us to take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's those little foxes. It's those little things that go unnoticed. It's those little quiet things. The little foxes represent little desires, little compromises. How many know a little compromise always turns into a bigger compromise? You compromise your convictions. You compromise your beliefs, you compromise your doctrines, and I promise you, those little compromises will always become bigger compromises. They never stay the same. Desires grow. Desires mature. Desires multiply. Amen. And we need to understand it's these little foxes that spoils the vine. It's the little attitudes that eat away from the fruitfulness of God's word in our life and your walk with God in your life. It's these little things that begin to tear at your soul, that begin to pull you away from God. It's the little things that go unchecked in our life. Our desires will never be lazy. They will never stop growing. What you got in your heart's going to grow. It's going to grow. If you don't take your desires captive, your desires will take you captive. It's going to be one way or the other. If you don't take your mind, your desires, and your heart captive, if you don't surrender it to God, they will take you captive. They will take over your life. Amen. They will take over your life and they will take you captive. Can I tell you tonight, God is calling his people to surrender their desires. Church, I want you to be blessed by God. I want your families to be blessed by God. I want your relationships, your marriage, your children, your finances, your home. I want you to be blessed by God tonight. But can I tell you, we're living in a world where wrongful desires are infiltrating the church. And we got to check these things. We got to examine these things. We got to behold our face in a glass, like the Bible says. We got to look. We got judge yourself that ye have not need to be judged of another. We got to check ourselves. We got to check our desires in our life. And God is calling his people to surrender their desires. God is calling his people to surrender their appetites. He's calling his people to surrender their ambitions. He's calling his people to surrender their every longing. As the deer panteth for the water brook, my soul longs for thee, O God. He is calling us to long for him tonight. What is the desire of your heart? What is the desire of your heart tonight? God is calling us to surrender these things to the authority of the Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul said, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. How many know it's going to take us walking in the Spirit to keep from fulfilling the lust of the flesh? It's going to take the Spirit of God checking us. It's going to take the Spirit of God examining us. Amen. To keep us from being destroyed by our very own self tonight. Why? Because the Spirit of God redirects desire. The Spirit of God cleans up desire. How many know we can crucify our desires with the cross? We can cleanse our desires with the blood of Jesus. How we can bring every thought, every idle thought under subjection unto the Lord and say, Lord, create in me, like David said, a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. And don't let these things that seek to destroy me grow within my heart. Help me, Lord, to get these desires under control. Church, I'm going to tell you tonight, you cannot overcome wrong desires by your own willpower. I have seen those that think they are the best fall the hardest. You will never overcome desire with your own willpower. I have seen men that I never thought would fall harder than anybody. You know why? Because you can't check desire by your own willpower. You need the Holy Ghost to be your guide tonight. Amen. But you can overcome desire with surrender. The church is the only place you're ever going to hear that. You're not going to hear it in the world. You can overcome your desires through surrender, by giving it to God, surrendering yourself to God. By surrendering ourselves to God, we become stronger. We become one with him. It's the only place in the world you're ever going to hear we're stronger through surrender. Surrender's a bad term in the world. Huh? Throwing in a white tower, holding up a white flag means you're giving up. But well, not in the church. That's not what surrender means. Yeah, it means you're giving up your own will and taking unto you God's will, which makes you much stronger than you would have ever been in your own will. Amen. The church is the only place that surrendering is going to make you stronger. Amen. We can't overcome desires by our own willpower. We can't fight desire with the flesh, but you can sure enough cleanse it with the blood of Jesus. Amen. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. James teaches us that the wrong desire is a deadly enemy. The wrong desire deceives us. Wrong desires entice us. Wrong desires destroy us. But godly desires save us. Godly desires sanctify us. And godly desires transform who we are. The question today is not, do you have desire? Everybody has desires in their life. Everybody in this room, everybody under the sound of my voice has some type of desires in your life. You want to get a raise on your job. You want to buy a home. You want to get a new truck. Isn't that right, Mom? Huh? You want that man to ask you to marry him. You want that woman to ask you to marry her. Most likely not going to happen. But we all have desires in our lives. The question is, what are they? Are they leading us towards God? Are they leading us away from God? Because let me tell you something. If a promotion on a job means you make $300,000 a year, if it lands you in hell, it ain't worth it. Let me tell you something. That little girl can be the hottest chick on the block, but if she leads you away from God, she's not worth it. That young man, he might have the most promising career. He could have been the most voted likely, most likely to succeed in high school. He could have been valedictorian. But let me tell you something. If he leads you away from God, you don't need him. You don't need him. We need to have godly desires in our life. We need to surrender those desires to the Lord. The question is not, do you have desires in the life? The question is, where do those desires point you to? Where are they leading you to? Because desires lead us. Desires take us somewhere. Desires are going to bring results in our life, Brother Timmy. Desires are going to bring to pass things in our life. Where are those desires pointed to? Where are they taking you to? I open this altar tonight to anyone whose desire needs to be realigned. I open this altar tonight to anyone who has the same spirit little David had when he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. Lord, don't let things grow inside of me that are going to lead me away from you. Lord, help me keep this garden cleaned and trimmed, and help these desires that I have point me toward you. Realign my desires, oh God. If you feel the pull of your flesh, if you sense those desires rising up in your heart that are not pleasing to God, come on, if you want to purify your appetite, if you want to purify your desires tonight, come on, if you want to restore holy desire in your life, I want you to get out of that seat. I want you to walk to the front of this church on a Tuesday night and say, Lord, I realize it's Tuesday, but I need you just as much as I do on Sunday. Lord, I realize it's Tuesday, but I got things lurking in the shadows of my life, and I need you to help expose them, Lord. I need you to help me have desires that are going to draw me towards you. Restore holy desires in my life. Would you come? Would you lay every wrong desire at his feet? Would you let the Holy Ghost get rid of it tonight? Would you let the Lord restore and renew a right spirit in you? And say, Lord, take my desires. I surrender myself to you tonight. Desires must be surrendered unto the Lord. These altars are open as we sing this closing song tonight. Would you come and would you let the Lord touch you?